This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The following production is part of the We Be Geeks podcast collective.
From days long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe, comes a legend.
The dream that came through a million years, that lived on through all the tears.
It came here, the Fandom Nexus.
Fabulous secret powers were revealed to our host as he plugged in his microphone.
I have a podcast!
Here he is, your Spider-Pan, Jeremy.
Yes, we're back, and it's, looky, we're coming out on weekends now. I think that's going to be the goal going forward, getting back to that weekend release. So hopefully I'm going to be able to be consistent on that, and we're getting back onto our regularly scheduled program. Yes, that is right. I am back. It is me, and I am not flying alone this week. And, okay, you're never going to believe this. Those of you that
Why
are new
they?
Won't know. Those of that are new are not going to know who you are.
Ooh, it's interesting.
Yes. We have some new people that have just started joining the show, and they have not yet to meet the Lost Boy, Eric.
Well, hello. How's everyone doing?
Which
I'm waiting for my theme music to kick in here.
But, I don't have a button for that anymore.
It's been that long.
It has been that long. The show has been completely changed because, like, last time, because I think it was like COVID that kind of nearly shut me down, and the show started changing, and they were giving you some crazy hours that I couldn't get coordinated with you anymore, and I was like, man, COVID just about killed this show. But we're back, and you're back.
And I'm back, and I've got a back.
Well, okay, does baby got back? Okay, no, I don't Nobody puts baby. Okay, never mind. I'm not going to quote Dirty Dancing here. That's no. That is beneath me.
At the very least, I am finally out of overtime. I am finally able to spend a little bit of time doing the things I want, much of which involves enjoying the things of my past, enjoying the things that make me happy, and listening to extremely loud music.
Yeah, I think I was like, no, my music thing seems kind of loud. Let me turn that down just a little bit here. So, wow. Yeah, and then I actually get to hear all the music and all the funny sounds I make with my nice little Zoom machine now. But we've got a great show planned, by the way. We've got all of the usual stuff of what you've been watching, what you've been playing. We've got some fun news, a lot of great stuff in the trailer park. And also, we've gotten to view Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, so we're going to review that movie and also talk a little bit about some of the Marvel characters that you'll find in there. And the music already stopped before I got to intro everything. Doggone music, you were supposed to keep playing, but that's okay. Something like that. Yeah. Was I supposed to yell Mortal Kombat? Because we were almost there.
I almost was going that direction.
Yeah, I heard it rhythmically, but I was like, are we going there? Are we going there? Are we going there?
Well, meanwhile, everyone listening is saying, finish it.
Exactly. Oh, my goodness.
Well, you want to know what I've been playing or what I've been doing? You want to hear the whole 2.5 years worth of stuff? Or
oh, my. Well, I know I haven't had a particular thing that I've been watching, and the only thing I can talk about that I've been playing is, like, I'm still playing WWE, but I have started playing Skyward Sword, which I think I mentioned last week anyway. But I know the big thing you've been playing that I want to hear about, Jedi Survivor.
Oh, who wants to hear about Star Wars stuff? You know, Star Wars is not exciting.
Yeah,
Star Wars isn't enjoyable anymore, is it?
It was this old independent film back in the 70s, you know.
Made a couple of dollars.
Yeah. couple billion. I mean, goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. I have been playing Jedi Survivor. And if now's when you want to talk about it, I can talk about it.
Heck fire. Yeah. This is when we usually talk about our games.
All right. Well, Jedi Survivor picks up about 5 years after the events of Jedi Fallen Order. Cal Kestis is still out there. He's still trying to fight against the Empire, but he's no longer with the crew that we met in Jedi Fallen Order. So this story is about how he meets back up with them, how he resolves the differences that they've had in the past, as they are actively trying to find a place that can help keep them and anyone that they find along their journeys safe from the Empire. It involves elements from the High Republic from 200 years in the past. It takes a look and sees what's going on at that time. You know, this is currently about 10 years before the Battle of Yavin. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's a possibility that we might start to see Cal starting to tie in with other elements that we've seen recently within the Star Wars universe. You know, this is about set about the same time as Obi-Wan was, the series we got last year.
And Star Wars Rebels should be about this time, too.
Star Wars Rebels is still about another 5 years down the road.
Okay.
But, you know, it does have cameos that you're not going to expect. It takes you to planets you might not have anticipated going to. Overall, I have really been enjoying this game. There are a lot of collectibles to go out there and find. There are a ton of collectibles, I'll put it that way. The only real criticism that I've got about the game is it feels like it went by way too fast. Mm. Now, my frame of reference here is Hogwarts Legacy. And I have absolutely loved Hogwarts Legacy, being able to dive in and be a student at Hogwarts and do all sorts of stuff and not get into trouble for it. But it's a very immersive map with a lot of things to do, a lot of things to keep you busy. Same thing with Jedi Survivor, but I don't feel that it's quite as expansive as the original game. We do have planets to explore, and the exploration is really the big draw of the game here.
Yeah.
You've got your main story, which will take you maybe about 20 hours to get through, and that's where my biggest concern is that the story seems to pass by pretty quickly. It seems weird saying it's only 20 hours worth of story, but you play through it pretty quickly, especially if you're on one of the lower settings, you know, which, again, for my benefit, it's great that it's got lower gameplay settings because it allows me to, you know, fully immerse myself in the story while knowing that my reflexes certainly aren't up to par to really enjoy that aspect of the game. But overall, I've really enjoyed it. The story talks about loss. It talks about betrayals. But it also, you know, kind of wraps everything up and says, okay, this is where we're at. This is what we've been doing. Let's do better. Not just let's do something different. Let's do something better.
Mm. So what's been your favorite Jedi setup as far as, because I've seen where you have your single-blade lightsaber, your dual-bladed lightsaber, your pair of lightsabers, your crossbeam lightsaber, or lightsaber and a blaster. What has been your favorite?
Yeah. The two stances that I've been using are primarily the double-bladed sabers, or dual sabers, rather, and the blaster.
Ah.
As the blaster allows you to get in long-range shots that you normally are going to have a difficult time getting to with just your blades.
Yeah. Comes in handy if somebody's waiting to ambush you as soon as you make some difficult maneuver to get over to them.
Well, and some of the collectibles are related to a little scavenger droid that if you don't get them just in time, you lose out on that collectible. You got to go back, find the save point, and restart to try and get that collectible if that little droid gets away. So that blaster certainly helps in keeping that droid from running away too quick.
That's not BD, is it?
Oh, no, it is not. These are actually in the game. They're called scavenger droids.
Hmm.
Part of what the game exemplifies is searching, looking for hidden things, trying to find these different collectibles throughout the game. The planets that you go to have their own collectibles that you're looking for that can be redeemed. Part of the reason why you're looking for collectibles is that you can redeem them for, in some cases, cosmetic upgrades. You can change the way that Cal looks in the game. different clothing, different hairstyles, different facial hair arrangements. You know, quite honestly, I have seen some videos of Cal looking like he just walked out of a trailer park with a mullet and a handlebar mustache with a red, white, and blue pistol in one hand and a red, white, and blue lightsaber wearing a tank top. Yeah, you can actually go that extreme in there. Of course, the videos I've seen have had background music proclaiming Murica. But yeah, the customization is pretty cool. But, you know, in the original game, you could change some elements. You could put on a different poncho or you could do a different general clothing. And you could also change the coloring on BD-1 and change the coloring on the ship.
Nice.
With this game, not only can you customize Cal's look and his clothing, but you can customize BD-1 with different parts. You can customize your lightsaber. It was something you could do in the previous game, but you can not just customize and put different pieces onto your lightsaber, but you can choose different metallic elements to show there. You can change whether it looks polished or rough. You can, you know, change the type of, you know, you can make it look more like a wood grain than like metal on some of these elements. You can also make those type of changes to your blaster as well. So if you want it to look like an Imperial blaster, you can. Ooh. If you want it to look like Han's blaster, you can. Now, I haven't come across anything to make it look like Chewie's crossbow. It's not really a rifle. But, you know, there's some pretty interesting and unique variations on it. I think one of them, you can even make it look like Zam Wessel's blaster with his kind of futuristic sci-fi look to it.
Yeah, the futuristic look that's actually the past of what we grew up with.
Kind of a Buck Rogers type of futurism. Yeah. You, as I said, you do get to learn a little bit about the High Republic. And, you know, while fortunately we don't have to hang out with any talking rocks, that's an inside joke if you know the High Republic.
I know nothing of the High Republic. So.
No worries. But you do get to spend quite a bit of time with a robot who has a leftover from the High Republic. And, you know, the storyline involves characters from the High Republic and a discovery that they made. So, but through the storyline, again, you get to reconnect with all of your friends from the first game. You're not really going to any places that you already have been in the first game. All of the locations are new. Certainly the most expansive world is the one where you find Grease the pilot at, called Kobo. That's where a lot of your side missions take place. That's where a lot of the collectibles are at. And Kobo is very integral to the storyline of this game. You find that there's Imperial outposts that have been built in there. It's actually got a Luker Hulk from the Clone Wars staffed with B1 droids.
Yes, I've been hearing that battle droids are back.
Exactly. You know, I'll tell you, there's nothing like climbing along a cliff towards the first part of the game, and you start to hear the Roger Rogers, and you hear, you know, these B1 droids opining about, oh, this is a wonderful view. I think if all I ever had to do was look, I would choose this view to always look at right before you slice them down. It's got its own menagerie of creatures that you need to battle against. And you might even run across a Rancor or two.
Yes. I've heard there are some optional bosses that you can take on.
There certainly are.
Yes.
Again, there's a lot to the game. The story I felt was just a little, I'm not going to say it was shallow. It wasn't quite enough. I would have loved to have more story or at least add in, you know, another, you know, 5 to 6 hours worth of content around the story, which I would have loved. Yeah. But again, you get to visit some places where maybe we've seen on screen in the past. You get to visit some places that, you know, we've never been around before. And, you know, maybe we'll get to see some places that the Empire later blows up. I don't know. I'm not going to spoil any. I guess I kind of spoiled something.
Kind of
did. But I'm not going to, you know, give it all away. But again, it's 10 years before the Battle of Yavin. So, you know, there's still a lot of room and a lot of story that could be told within that next 10 years. At the end of the day, It is a really fun game. I've really been enjoying playing it. Yeah, there have been some glitches, and a big patch just came out this last week to help fix some of the errors. The PC version has not been gotten great reviews because of a lot of the glitches that players have had. I, however, have been playing it on a PS5, and you know, the worst that I've had is I've gotten stuck in a spot, had to completely reboot my system, and just started off at the last save point that I was at. So I just had to make up a little bit of lost ground. But overall, it's a lot of fun. And again, once you get swinging with your lightsabers...
That's all we really want to do anyway, isn't it?
Exactly.
We just want lightsabers. We want to cut stuff up. We want to melt doors. I mean, come on.
And we're not going quite as far as the Force Unleashed with your Force powers, but it builds upon the powers that you gained in the first game. You find new and inventive ways to use your powers.
Ooh.
And really kind of change your perspective on some things. It also introduces a grappling system.
Hmm.
Almost from the very beginning. So you're not just doing your platforming traversal. You can, you know, be just like Nathan Drake and grapple from one spot to another.
Nice.
In fact, my kids kind of mentioned, is this Uncharted set in Star Wars? I said, well, kind of.
But, it's not necessarily a bad thing.
No, not definitely not. But overall, I've really enjoyed the game. I've had a lot of fun playing it. I'm having a lot of fun going through after completing the story mode and finding all of the little collectibles around. It's a definite must play for me, and it's something that, you know, give me once I'm through with this, I'm going to give it a few months. I've got Tears of the Kingdom to look forward to playing, but I'm definitely going to revisit this game again in the very near future.
And I'm waiting because I'm trying to pay off some debts before I go and spend money on games again. Although I might not wait that long. It may not be that long before I have to just jump on it like, I want to play this thing. So we'll see. Maybe there'll be a sale soon. Probably not.
Hey, you never know. Usually about 6 months down the road, there's a nice drop in the price. So,
given about six, you know, we'll be looking at Christmas time in 6 months, you know. Of course, that's also about the time I'm expecting the Final Fantasy VII remake, the next part of the remake series. And that is big on my Christmas list right now.
You mean Spider-Man 2 isn't?
Oh, that too. But I wasn't sure if that was going to be in the fall or, you know.
That's going to be like September-ish from what I'm hearing.
Yeah, so the fall. So I can have that one. And then when I'm done playing with that one, I'll be ready for Final Fantasy 7 as the next part of the remake, which I don't remember what this is called. Because Reunion was the last one I think I got that was a remake of Crisis Core. I forgot what the next one's called. Oh, my goodness. But I am definitely looking forward to that one. So that's my Christmas list. I've already told people what my birthday list is. So far, I haven't had any takers. We're getting close to my birthday here, y'all. But there is this big Spider-Man exhibit coming to Union Station that will be opening on the 26th this month, my birthday. And I want to go, and somebody needs to take me for my birthday, at least that weekend. We'll see what happens. I don't know. I'm hoping something, you know, because they're going to have stuff from the movies there and stuff from the comics, just all kinds of neat stuff. I'm like, I got to go. So I'm hoping for that. That's my big Spider-Man thing that I want. I want something for my birthday. My anniversary is that same weekend too, y'all. So because somebody needs to go. I don't think my wife would appreciate it for an anniversary thing. Hey, we're going to go see the Spider-Man thing for our anniversary. Why? So I've tried.
Tell her that they'll have spiders on exhibit and it'll help her with her classwork.
Sure.
Help to get her students interested in insectology and... There we go.
You know, true story. Actually, in between my junior senior year in high school, I went on with the Odd Fellows Rebecca's Lodge. They sent me on they called it a pilgrimage to the UN, and we got to travel a lot of different stuff. And one of the things I did go to is the Smithsonian. And at that time, they were having a spiders exhibit sponsored by Marvel Comics. So there was a lot of Spider-Man element stuff in there, but they were just showing how the neat things spiders can do and everything, which gave me a bit more of an appreciation. However, I did not appreciate the brown recluse I found in my bathroom this morning. I smashed them pretty good with some toilet paper.
Oh, goodness.
Yes. Don't like those in my house. Anyways, I think it's time we go to some news.
Sounds good.
That's the wrong button. If it wasn't for me hitting wrong buttons every week, you know, y'all would start to miss it if I didn't hit the button. Except for usually I hit the trailer button instead of the news button.
Spanning the Disney and geek universe to bring you the best in comics, toys, movies, and entertainment. This is news from around Neverland.
All right, so I'm going to show something here at the camera that that Eric is seeing me on. So I learned something here at Free Comic Book Day, as they had a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles comic. And it, I looked at it and said, this is cool. It's very styled from the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
What this is previewing is TMNT Saturday Morning Adventures, coming May 31st. It might already be out in comic shops. But there is a comic book now that's going to be picking up where I guess the 80s series left off, doing in that same art style. It's probably out in comic book shops right now. I am looking forward to checking out. It would be really cool if it had some of the same writers that had written some of the episodes of the old animated series. But I have not really, other than Free Comic Book Day, I haven't really picked up a comic in a long time because I've been buying games mainly with my fun money. But this is definitely now on my pull list of like, ooh, I want to read this. Because I don't, like, if I tried to get into like, well, The Last Ronin I could probably read. But if I wanted to read any Ninja Turtles comics, I would be confused of what they've had going on since whatever time. But this is picking up from the era that we grew up watching Turtles. So I'd be able to just jump right in and be like, yay, I know all the things going on with these characters. So that's the first thing I have on some news right there. I'm super excited. And I didn't even know until Free Comic Book Day that this was happening.
That title has actually been coming out for about 3 or 4 months now, with the Saturday Morning title to it.
Really?
And you're right. It does harken right back to those 1980s or to the 1980s series. Alongside that, I have been playing the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge game.
Oh, yes.
Which has also been hitting me right in those 80s nostalgic mm-hmm. feels compared to the old Turtles arcade game. But the only disappointment that I have with this current series is that it is not featuring art by Ken Mitrone. Now, you might not know who Ken Mitrone is by name, but he was one of the two artists who worked on the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles comic book series from Archie, TMNT Adventure.
Oh, yes. You know, him along with, and the other guy, and he actually just came up on Facebook today, a Guy Gilchrist used to draw some of those comics too. And I've gotten to meet him before.
Mm-hmm. Now, Ken Mitrone has worked on a little thing called The Great Space Arc.
I have no idea.
No?
Okay. Nope.
He also, you know, worked for a little company called Pixar.
Oh, okay.
Helped design like a guy named... now I'm blanking out on the character's name. It's the bad guy from Buzz Lightyear. Zurg.
Nice.
Helped design Zurg. And I'm following him on Facebook as well. It's just, he had a very distinctive style, very cartoony style that I really like. You know, he's been posting pictures of his Turtles art that he's doing as commissions. And it just, again, it's hit me right there in the nostalgic feels of, yeah, this was 1989, 1990 for me. And, you know, maybe I was in high school and maybe the TMNT adventure books were a little below my reading level. But, you know, this stuff just hits me right back in those feels and gets me back into my youth. And I'm so glad to see that IDW, I think, is who's publishing these books, has picked up on that nostalgia and is actively working to, you know, draw in old-time fans with this art style, with these stories, and with these characters, you know, being very much in tune with the characters as they appeared on the 1986 series.
Yeah, and I would really love it if Archie still owns the rights to it, but if they would just re-release in, like, some books, some volumes of the old Ninja Turtles Adventures comic, I would be so happy.
You know what? They have, but it's been a few years.
Oh, how did I miss this stuff? Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, now, see, I got stuff to go track down because I'm now a few issues behind on this series that I want to start reading. And I want to read all the adventures ones. My goodness. Oh, wow. Because I want to read that stuff. Because I didn't get to read it all when I was younger. I was, you know, I was broke. I was a poor kid. I was middle school. You know, so you ain't got no money in middle school. So anyways, but the next thing I have, I only really grabbed two things for news this week because this is this is just kind of some fun. With Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse swinging into theaters on June the 2nd, Burger King is offering a Red Whopper inspired by Miles Morales' suit from May 15th through June 21st. So probably by the time you hear this episode, you could go to Burger King and get a Red Whopper.
Now, it's the bun that's red, not the burger.
Oh, right, right. That's, you know, because you... I like my meat well done. I'm sorry, folks. I it can't be bleeding, y'all. Mm-mm. I want it done. Not like burnt, but I mean, still juicy. But yeah, if it's pink, I'm sending it back for a little bit more cooking.
Just make sure it's got a nice sear on it.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Good stuff. So, but yeah, I thought that was kind of fun. They're going to have a red thing. It was a lot better. Didn't they try at one point? They were going to do a green bun and everybody's like, oh, that just looks gross.
Well, and they've also had a black bun in the past.
Yeah.
And with certain dietary consequences as a result.
Yes, I think I remember hearing about that. I didn't eat one, and I'm thankful. Oh, yes, indeed. So, yeah, that's the only bits of fun. But now just to keep the show rolling, and I'm going to make sure I hit this button.
Mama, now the gator got in the house.
Now the gator? Give me that shovel. Come here.
Get him all. Get that gator.
The Neverland Trailer Park.
Yeah, some of these sounders just ain't changed, even though the show has changed. But I got a ton of trailers, and one of these trailers I haven't even watched yet. But this is one, this is a bit more of a serious, but I'm interested in, from Christopher Nolan, Oppenheimer.
This is a national emergency.
Detonator charged.
We're in a race against the Nazis. And I know what it means. If the Nazis have a bomb.
We have a 12-month head start.
18.
How could you possibly know that?
We've got one hope. All America's industrial might and scientific innovation connected here. A secret laboratory. Keep everyone there until it's done.
Let's go recruit some scientists.
Build a town, build it fast. If we don't let scientists bring their families, we'll never get the best.
Why would we go to the middle of nowhere for who knows how long?
Why? Why? How about because this is the most important thing to ever happen in the history of the world?
You're the great improviser, but this, you can't do in your head.
Are we saying there's a chance that when we push that button, we destroy the world?
Chances are near zero.
Near zero.
What do you want from theory alone?
Zero would be nice.
This is a matter of life and death. I can perform this miracle. World War II would be over. Our boys would come home.
That's happening, isn't it?
World will remember this day.
Our work here will ensure a peace mankind has never seen. Until somebody builds a bigger one.
You are the man who gave them the power to destroy themselves. And the world is not prepared.
Truman needs to know what's next.
Two.
What's next?
One.
Oppenheimer is coming July 21st. Written and directed by Christopher Nolan. This, I mean, wow. I like some of the description it has here. It's shot in an IMAX. Epic thriller that thrusts audiences into the pulse-pounding paradox of the enigmatic man who must risk destroying the world in order to save it. starring Cillian Murphy as J. Robert Oppenheimer, Erin Lee Blunt as his wife, biologist and botanist Catherine Kitty Oppenheimer. Matt Damon is in this, Robert Downey Jr., Louis Strauss, so many people showing up in this movie. And I mean, it's this, I mean, I like a good historical drama, but I mean, this is one of the things where like, yeah, we're trying to make this bomb before the Nazis make one, you know, we're trying to race it. We feel like we have to make this thing. And then, you know, this is the bomb we used and realized, what have we done? We've now created the scariest power that we possibly can have. And I like this line in the trailer says like, oh, we've got a bomb that we can have peace now until somebody makes a bigger bomb. So it's a very scary, very dramatic time when we realize, you know, where we've been in the nuclear age. And especially, you know, heck, Russia's already threatened to launch some at people. You know, there's still that looming threat that one day somebody's going to just push the button. And there it goes.
Yep.
So yep. I'm interested in seeing this. This looks very intriguing. A lot of stories that most of us really just don't know about.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I'll tell you, though, you know, here we've got a summer movie coming out with a guy in a fedora who wants to fight the Nazis.
And it's not Indiana Jones this time.
But they were loading. The government had something important in a big wooden crate.
Yeah, that's true, too. So, yes, I'm looking forward to checking this one out. It's on my list. Here's something that I didn't think I was interested in when I heard about it, because the Gran Turismo games don't have a story. It's just a racing game. I was like, I don't care. But then I saw the trailer for it in front of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, and I must say I'm intrigued. It's actually based off a true story.
If you miss a line in the game, you reset. You miss it on the track, you could die.
Who do you think the best driver is?
Probably Rory.
I would dust him in a lap.
Jan, all you do is play video games with some crazy dreams of racing cars.
Dad, you're the one that told us to always do something we love.
You know what racing cars cost? Look around. It's not our world, son.
What is this?
It's a contest.
The best Gran Turismo players
in the world
get a chance to compete in professional racing.
Dude, this is real.
This is real.
I'm sorry. You really think you're going to take a kid who plays video games in their bedroom, you're going to strap him to a 200-mile-an-hour rocket? It'll tear him to pieces.
You can hate me now.
It's not going to work. The guys who race are elite athletes.
But I won't stop now.
Your kids are scrawny little gamer kids.
Well, that's where you come in.
Come on, let's go!
Because I can't stop now.
Must be a new experience for you, moving your legs.
You puked on my lawn.
There's no turning back now.
When you're in a race, the cockpit is going to be 140 degrees Fahrenheit. The G-forces will be twice what an astronaut experiences upon liftoff.
I can't see anything!
Hey, you get extra points for that in the game?
Had to hustle hard, never give up.
This whole thing is insane, but out of the couch surfing nerds that you sent me, he is the best one.
You made it.
Yes!
Welcome to Team Nissan.
What's next?
It's Major Leagues. The other drivers
are going to hate you.
Come on.
Whoopsie.
Dude, what is your problem?
It's part of the game. It's called racing.
But I won't stop now.
If you miss a line in the game, you reset. You miss it on the track, you could die.
You gave me down. You beat, I won't stop now.
I know this track.
Because I can't stop now.
I've raced it 1,000 times.
That's what I'm talking about.
You gave me now. But I won't stop now.
So this is coming in August. Let's see what we got in our description here. Oh, they don't have a description actually here on Sony's official chain. Oh, no, here it is. Based on the true story of Jan Martinborough, the film is the ultimate wish fulfillment tale of a teenage Gran Turismo player whose gaming skills won a series of Nissan competitions to become an actual professional race car driver. And I thought I recognized the guy playing his father. Let's see here. Yeah, Digimon Hinsu. Yeah, I recognized him. And, of course, David Harbour and Orlando Bloom also in this. Oh, look, Jerry Halliwell Horner. So we got a Spice Girl in this thing, too. Who would have thought? But I did not expect to be interested in this. But I saw that and I was like, you know, this is kind of just an intriguing idea. You know, somebody really taking a risk. It's, you know, can we learn things? Because they actually have used some video game stuff to actually train people in certain things. You know, training. You've got Microsoft making flight simulator games that are very pretty much real. Like if you could learn this game, you could learn to actually fly something. So I find this to be a pretty intriguing concept. So I kind of want to check it out. Coming in August. Does that sound like something you would have thought to be interesting until you saw a trailer?
Oh, you know what? The story behind it intrigues me. And, you know, one thing that I've loved about the Gran Turismo games is that they really have been top-notch in trying to actually put you right there behind the seat of the car as you're racing. And I think this is the perfect marriage of game and true story.
Yeah. So it's, I would not have thought I'd be interested in this because, I only have ever played, like, the first one back on the old PlayStation. And I was blown away by how realistic the cars looked. On the old PS1, you know, generation, I was like, wow, but what they can do now. But the more realistic they get, the harder time I have playing a driving game. So now the only driving games really I play is Mario Kart.
Same here. But I'll tell you, if he starts talking about family and they send cars up into space, I might have a little bit of concern.
Yeah. Here's something else I didn't know was coming, but it caught my eye. You know, Wes Anderson, when he makes a movie, has that certain color palette that just looks interesting. But he's got a new film coming out that just looked weird and wacky and fun, and I kind of want to check it out. It's called Asteroid City.
You're not here.
We're not there. The car exploded. Come get the girls. I have to stay here with Woodrow.
I'm not the chauffeur. I'm the grandfather. Where are you?
Asteroid City, Farm Route 6, mile 75.
Last train. Junior stargazers and space cadets. Each year we celebrate Asteroid Day, commemorating September 23rd, 3007 BC, when the Arid Plains meteorite made Earth impact.
Holy Toledo, that's Mitch Campbell.
You're very good in the one about the tramp in the brothel
who gets
amnesia and becomes a pediatrician. You were very awesome.
Actually, maybe my favorite character I've ever
seen. I don't know why nobody else liked it.
Oh.
What do those pulses indicate?
What? Oh, the beeps and blips? We don't know.
Some of our information about outer space may no longer be completely accurate. Anyway, there's still only 9 planets in the solar system as far as we know, Billy?
Except now there's an alien.
What's happening now?
I don't know.
I don't like the way that guy looked at us. The alien.
How did he look?
Like we're doomed.
Maybe we are.
I've just informed the president.
How long can they keep us in Asteroid City, legally?
The world will never be the same.
That's an alien doing jumping jacks. That's an alien in a top hat.
What's out there? The meaning of life. Maybe there is one.
Are you married?
I'm a widower. But don't tell my kids.
You're saying her mother died 3 weeks ago?
Let's say she's in heaven. Which doesn't exist for me, of course, but you're Episcopalian.
In my loneliness, I learned to give complete and unquestioning faith to the people I love. I don't know if that includes you, but it included my daughter and your 4 children.
Sometimes I think I feel more at home outside the Earth's atmosphere.
Oh, wow. Me too.
They're strange, aren't they? They're children. Compared to normal people.
Yes, that's correct.
It's true. Mm-hmm. Freight train, going so fast. Freight train, going so fast. I don't know the scene. You want to see it?
Huh? Did I say yes?
You didn't say anything.
I meant yes. My mouth didn't speak.
So this is coming June 16th. It just has that weird Wes Anderson style. Asteroid City takes place in a fictional American desert town circa 1955. The itinerary of a junior stargazer space cadet convention organized to bring together students and parents from across the country for a fellowship and scholarly competition is spectacularly disrupted by world-changing events. And let's just say this is an all-star cast. Holy cow. I mean, even from Ethan Hawke's daughter. Tom Hanks to Ethan Hawke's daughter that was in Stranger Things even. That's the range. Maya Hawke. Yes. That is some serious range of actors. Even Steve Carell in here. I saw Jeff Goldblum's name actually go by on the list. I mean,
Scarlett Johansson. It's jam-packed full of big names.
Oh, indeed.
And it's given me such Route 66 vibes.
Oh, yeah.
Just the kitschiness of it. So this is definitely something I'm interested in following up on.
Yeah, and the looking of it, of the town, reminds me, if the Cars movie was done as a real life thing, it would kind of look how this movie looks, with being out in this little desert small town thing. Look.
What do you mean as a real life thing? I visited Radiator Springs. It's in Anaheim.
Well, there you go. Well, that's what this town looks like. It reminds me of Radiator Springs, and even the color palette they use, it's just such bright colors that I'm down. This looks really cool. So then, all right, we got one last trailer that I have not even gotten to watch yet, but we actually have a third trailer for Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. And I clicked it, and it's nothing happening. There we go.
My name's Miles Morales. I'm Brooklyn's one and only Spider-Man. And things are going great.
He's going to be here any minute.
Should be simple enough.
Give me your money.
So are you like a cow or a Dalmatian?
Ah, Spider-Man!
I am the Spot.
That's not funny.
Don't do that.
There's bubbles now. Hold on.
I don't think I want this costume anymore.
Oh, in a minute. I wrote it all as one word. It's cute, right? The youth.
How's this going?
Miles.
Solid.
What have we always said? Woo.
Miles's grades are pretty good. A in AP Physics.
That's my little man.
And a B in Spanish.
What?
Ooh, okay.
Miles.
Are you trying to
Mira, eso es imposible.
Okay. I gotta go. All right, what? Bye.
Miles.
Gwen?
Want to get out of here?
Welcome to Spider Society.
I'm Spider-Man.
Oh, no way. All of us are. Meet Miguel O'Hara.
He's like a ninja vampire Spider-Man, but a good guy. Plus, he's like such a good leader.
Miles, there's moments in our stories that are the same for all of us. Some good.
Did you bring our baby to another fight?
I knew I was going to regret making her that web shooter.
He asked me not to, so I didn't. I wouldn't.
Some bad.
You have a choice between saving one person and saving every world.
To me, that's an obvious choice.
Send me home.
I can't do that.
I can do both!
All stations, stop Spider-Man.
You? What, me?
Miles!
Everyone keeps telling me how my story is supposed to go. Nah, I'm gonna do my own thing. Can this day get weirder? I guess it can.
There's nowhere to run.
Sorry.
My bad, everybody. There was somewhere to run.
June 2nd, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, the next animated film from Sony Pictures. And here's, we got some description here from Sony.
Pardon me while I'm put my cherry 7-Up.
Miles Morales returns for the next chapter of the Oscar-winning Spider-Verse saga, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. After reuniting with Gwen Stacy, Brooklyn's full-time friendly neighborhood Spider-Man is catapulted across the multiverse where he encounters a team of Spider-People charged with protecting its very existence. But when the heroes clash on how to handle a new threat, Miles finds himself pitted against the other spiders and must redefine what it means to be a hero so he can save the people he loves most. Basically, this is Flashpoint Paradox, what I'm predicting here is his father is going to be killed, and he's going to try to want to save his father, and that will, you know, cause ripples and serious destruction and possibly a new villain out of there. And I'm predicting that Miguel is going to have been right, and this will be a heavy lesson for Miles to learn. That's what I'm predicting, but who knows? I could be wrong. Maybe they'll do something slightly different, but it really reminds me of the Flashpoint Paradox.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely hear you, though. But I'm excited to see what they do with the Spot.
Yes.
You know, they've really taken an interesting angle with that. But, you know, I want to know, when does Pace Pop Pete get his due? Yeah, we've had movies with the Green Goblin, Dr. Octopus, and now the Spot. When does Pace Pop Pete, you know, finally emerge and get to show his grandeur? Alongside Stiltman.
Oh, Stiltman, or even, heck, I'd take the White Rabbit and Frogman at some point. Yeah. It would be nice just for something to mix it up. But still, at least giving something to the Spot, because the Spot, you know, done right, he can be a threat, because his power can cause you some serious problems.
Oh, yeah.
So,
oh yeah,
they've done him as kind of a joke, but I bet he could be the one who's going to become a more serious threat, mm-hmm. Due to Miles' actions, perhaps. We'll see. That's coming up very, very, very soon. June 2nd. Mark your calendars. Do it now. Okay. You know, don't pause the podcast. Don't turn it off. Pause the podcast. Go to your Google calendar or wherever on your phone, whatever, Apple calendar, whatever you've got. Mark it down. June 2nd. Okay. Okay. But in order to just keep the show going, I'm going to hit this button.
Want to see a movie?
Yeah. Any good?
It was bad.
I'm fuzzy on the whole good, bad thing.
My eyeballs could have been sucked from their sockets.
I like it a lot.
The best movie ever made.
A Fandom Nexus movie review.
You know, I feel like I really should have pulled up an IMDb page to be able to talk about the cast of this. I'm going to do that real quick. But yeah, we saw Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. I figure you've gotten a chance to check this out as well, haven't you?
Oh, yes. Saw it a week ago Thursday.
A week ago Thursday. Okay, so you got those early showing.
Oh, yeah.
I waited for Saturday so I could do it as part of the whole, you know, free comic book day thing. It's tradition for me. It is tradition. There's one thing I wanted to look up, because the actor playing the High Evolutionary looked familiar. Chukwudi Awuji. I hope I'm saying his name somewhat right, but I'm like, why do I recognize him? So I've been meaning to look this up, and I had not done it. So he's known for John Wick Chapter 2, but I ain't seen that. When They See Us, Designated Survivor. Let's see. I'm looking for something that I've actually seen that he has been in. And so far, I'm not seeing anything. But why did he look familiar? Because I have not, you know, I've only seen one John Wick movie, and I watched it when it was edited. Oh, he popped up as a character in a Doctor Who back in 2011. Maybe I've seen him there. That might be it. So, but
and
yeah.
I'm pretty sure I saw him in News of the World with Tom Hanks.
Yeah, I don't think I saw that one. Yeah, I didn't. I think I even talked about the trailer, perhaps in the podcast back at the time, because I remember seeing like, ooh, but I don't think I actually watched that movie. Was it good?
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
So I'll have to take a look into that. But overall, though, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, my wife didn't get to go with us because she didn't want to go to Free Comic Book Day. I was basically telling her this is Toy Story 3. Where you're taking some of the humor that you got from the first previous two movies and making a slightly darker, more emotional story that you will laugh, you'll cry, you'll applaud when the credits aren't rolling, because that's what happened. It's pretty much that level where, like, is this the best of the series? Maybe, but I had more fun watching the other two because this one really tore my heartstrings all over the place. At various different times, we've got a great story here. We've got even a character that I'm not that familiar with, but I did dig some research, and I'm going to share the information with y'all about who the High Evolutionary was, and also some backstory of at least the film version of Rocket, which I believe does have some differences from the actual origin of Rocket from the comics. But getting into those, all, you know, it's been nice seeing characters that I'm maybe familiar with from, I think, the Avengers animated series from. That was the Earth Mightiest Heroes. I think the High Evolutionary might have popped up there. And I feel like he was mentioned or popped up somewhere maybe in the X-Men in the 90s, like in the later seasons. I don't know.
But it's very possible.
It's very possible. But the High Evolutionary pops up, and he's one of those guys. He's one of those names that gets mentioned even if you're only reading Spider-Man. He'll pop up somewhere like Thanos. And to get to see him fleshed out and, oh my gosh, with a very manic performance ranging between the almost caring when you look at some of Rocket's origin to the madness of things not going his way. And boy, he was just scary in his own way. Very different from and now my brain just went out the window. Yeah, very different from King, where King is a very calm menace. I wish the actor hasn't messed up, because I would like to see him continue playing this role. Because he was very, very scary without being over the top. But this guy, you know, to be a contrast character, he was just rage and insanity. But, oh my gosh, that made him scary. He did it just right. It wasn't over the top. It was just enough to be, we got to stop this guy. Because, I mean, this isn't a story where we're like, oh, we've got to save the galaxy from this great threat. It's, we want to save our friend, and oh my gosh, this guy is our problem of keeping us from saving our friend by the time they get to it. And really, it was just a great ride. The only real complaints I would have is there was an F-bomb dropped in the middle of this film, which I didn't find to be necessary. I don't know why this is a Disney Marvel film and we had that happen. But I guess they don't care these days. But I did. I was like, ooh, that kind of it shook me out of it a little bit. Like, whoa, hey, especially the actor that they have saying it. I felt like it's against the type of person he's presenting himself as. I'm not going to get too far into that, but yeah, I don't want to spoil who says it, but yeah, I was like, ugh, coming from his mouth, that seems really rough, because he's come to represent a lot of different things, and he seems to make a stand on things that I would agree with, but yeah, we'll just leave it at that. But overall, I really enjoyed it. It was 2.5 hours, but I really didn't notice the length of the movie, because it felt to me like the pacing was really good. They filled it up with enough story. I was intrigued with what's going on with Rocket's backstory and all the different elements going on. And when we weren't getting the intriguing elements, they were doing something funny to make me laugh again. Mm-hmm. But also really developed the characters and showing how some of these characters that maybe didn't feel appreciated, what's special about their characters, maybe outside of what we would think is what makes that character special. Showing them like, hey, you know what? And I almost cried at this line where somebody gets their name renamed at the end, but I'm not going to say what, but I think you probably know what I'm talking about. It's like, oh, they call you this. Mm-hmm. Well, now we're going to call you this. And I was like, oh, you being a father, I'm going to give away stuff if I ain't careful. But you being a father, I bet that hit you a lot more than it did me.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I highly enjoyed this movie. Just had a great time with it, and I'm looking forward to taking my wife to see it, because she's going to cry too, because there's a lot of animals.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there's a bit of a warning there. If you're an animal lover, you might have a hard time with this film. I did take my whole family to see this. My little 11-year-old daughter got a bit squeamish because the animals in this film are not treated very well by the high evolutionary.
Yeah.
You know, that's, you know, we've seen images of Rocket without his, shirt or vest on, and you can tell that he's actually had some pretty invasive procedures done to him. Mm-hmm. This does not leave much to the imagination to show what kind of procedures were conducted on him and other animals by the high evolutionary.
Yeah, you see at least the end results, and there is one scene that they kind of Hitchcock it for you, where they're seeing what's happened, and even Nebula says, like, wow, what was done to him was worse than what was done even to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad they're not showing it to you, but you get the idea of what they're seeing. There's definitely a scene, though, with those animals that, especially if you love animals, you're going to cry.
If you had a hard time with the whale in Avatar Way of Water, you'll have a hard time with this.
And I didn't see that movie, so I don't know.
Well, there's no context.
I have no context there.
But, you know, it is a very moving story.
Yes, it was.
You know, keep in mind that people going into this movie, we've lost characters in the first movie. We lost characters in the second movie. So, you know, if you're approaching this movie anticipating a loss, just be prepared. You're not expecting to have happen what you're expecting. It's a lot more emotional.
Yeah. I don't want to say that I won't. Yeah. There was people even going into the movie, some friends of mine that had heard certain things. Oh, well, somebody had said this, so I bet that character is not going to make it. But I was actually able to make a lot of predictions as things were going along of like certain bits of dialogue. And I kind of was thinking, it's like, oh, well, these characters are not actually going to die, especially they were too invested in one character. But some of the dialogues bits that came up, I was kind of saying in my head, it's like, oh, this, they're going to say this because that's going to be the thing. And towards the end of it, there was two really big lines that I was like, yeah, I know what the otter's going to say this and Rocket is going to say that. And I was like, mm-hmm. Yep, there they are. But yet mm-hmm. I didn't mind.
Yeah.
You know what? I predicted that was about to happen, but it's like, it was awesome when it did.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, what I will say is one of my favorite lines from this movie, and I think you'll agree with me, was, I love you guys.
Yeah. Oh,
that was absolutely great. It is a great part of the movie, and it mm-hmm. kind of cements, I think, a lot of what this what these three films have been about.
Yes. Yes, definitely. And even who says it kind of leads up to, like, you kind of learned that everybody has started to understand, except for one person who's not been around, doesn't understand. But then maybe at that point, it's like, hey, we the audience get to understand. Maybe this character will understand as well.
It's all about understanding.
Yes. And I hope I didn't say too much, but I appreciated that really good. I was like, oh, we can understand now.
Now, you know, a few of the other things that I really liked, we have Kraglin, who at the end of the last movie is still learning how to use Yondu's arrow.
Yep.
And he has a great moment. We've got a great moment of Cosmo, mm-hmm. you know, who's been fighting throughout the whole movie, wanting to be called a good dog.
Yep.
that she's not a bad dog. And there's a wonderful payoff for that.
Yep.
There's, you know, and we get to have some fun with it too. Nathan Fillion shows up in a cameo, you know, who's really, he is just eating the scenery.
Yes.
With every scene that he's in, you know, secretly I was hoping that he would, you know, join the Guardians, you know, and realize that, you know, whatever job he was performing, you know, as the character in the movie was not worth it. And he just joined the Guardians. Maybe there's a chance for in the future. Of course, I was always hoping he'd be Simon Williams in disguise, but what can you do?
Yeah. There was all that talk that he was going to be Wonder Man and I don't know what happened about that, but
you know, overall it is a fun movie. Just be prepared for some dark content from it.
Yes, indeed.
And it is closing out a trilogy. You know, so you are going to have highs, you're going to have lows. And, you know, we do know that going into it, that this could be the last time we're seeing some of these characters.
Yeah.
But with that said, the way that the movie ends, the note of one of these two, actually both of the post-credit scenes, does leave you on a good note, let you know that things are moving in a very new direction. And you know, we'll have to see what happens with that. But you know, I was satisfied with both of those scenes. You know, neither of them were a admonishment from, you know, Captain America saying that we need to be patient. Thank goodness.
Yeah, they were both just like, oh hey, we're gonna do this and we're gonna do this. And I'm looking forward to see what they're gonna do with Adam Warlock in the future.
Yes, definitely. Adam is definitely an interesting character. It's very interesting the way that he was brought about. Of course, he was teased in the last Guardians movie. And the way that they approach his character and just mentally where Adam Warlock is at is a very interesting arc.
Yeah. Because he's got a lot of things he learns and he grows throughout this movie and lands where he needs to land and learn some very valuable lessons and starts to become the Adam Warlock we're a bit more familiar with.
Mm-hmm. But after some big slobber knocker fights.
Oh, yes. And of course, because we got to have some slobber. And speaking of slobber knocker, I will say that this movie is kind of gross at times. Mm-hmm. There is some nasty stuff flying around. And heck, there's even a place they go to that is completely made organically. And imagine when you push a button, it is this fleshy, gooey thing that you have to push. That's the button. Stuff like that.
Instead of cameras, there's actual eyes.
Yeah, so be warned. There's some bits that would probably be a little scary. There's a reason why it's PG-13. I wouldn't bring younger children there because it's a little scary, I think, for them at times. There's some big nasty monsters that maybe are not as monstrous as you think. Maybe they earn the PG-13 a lot of this. How did your 11-year-old handle some of that?
She spent a good deal of the movie on my wife's lap.
There you go.
So, you know, it definitely was a bit rough for her. The older two, who are 15 and 18, I can't believe my oldest is 18. I'm getting old.
Yeah.
You know, had to enjoy the movie. They had a good time at it. But the 11-year-old, she had some difficulty with it because of, you know, the scenes involving animals. But, you know, I will say this. I agree with you. This definitely is Toy Story 3, but there's also one significant Toy Story 1 element.
And that is?
Involving Spider legs.
Oh, yeah. well, yeah, I can see that.
A tribute to the Thing, I would guess.
Yeah, which although Philip was saying that he's seen those characters before, and I was even trying to think like the weird brown little furry creature looked familiar to me. Like, I know I've seen this in a comic, but I could not think of what that little critter was.
Yeah, well, Lila, Tiefs, and Floor, who are the three other animals that Rocket basically grows up around, do appear in Rocket's history in the comic books.
Okay, which we're actually going to discuss. Heck, why don't we just dive in? Because I looked up on Marvel Fandom, Dr. Herbert Edgar Wyndham was a brilliant Oxford-educated scientist and a cosmic philosopher with an obsession for understanding the complexities of evolution. His journey began with a desire to explore the mysteries of the human DNA, which led him to create a serum that transformed him into the high evolutionary. So now I found that to be interesting. He is human, and I mean, you look at the character in the movie and you figure, okay, he looks like he was human, but we've seen a lot of humanoid characters that are from other planets. So I didn't know what they were going for, if he was going to have ever been from Earth in the movie version, but they did keep the counter-Earth concept, which is a parallel world that he created, trying to create a paradise for his new men, which his new men is where he's... he uploaded animals giving human-level intelligence, as it says here, which is pretty much what he's doing in this film. But
we just didn't get Bova the cow woman. At Mount Wundagore.
Yeah. So,
excuse me.
Yeah, there's definitely, because he's got his Citadel of Science. And I guess Mount Wundagore, I guess, might have been his ship, I guess.
Well, I don't know if they named it. Laboratories in the comic book. You know, that entire area where Wanda and Pietro came from, Mount Wundagore, was part of the High Evolutionary's base of operations.
And is that the new revision where they're no longer mutants?
No, this actually goes back to some of their origins. They were raised by Bova the Cow Woman, who herself was created by the High Evolutionary. And Mount Wundagore is where the High Evolutionary conducted his experiments on Earth before creating Counter-Earth.
Huh. Well, there you go. But they did some different things for a look. As you look how he's in the comics, he's kind of got metallic arms and legs and kind of very pinkish purple. Look, oh yeah, here's the section on the Maximoff twins. However, at that moment, a pregnant woman, Magna, gave birth to twins Wanda and Pietro on the mountain in the Citadel, and Kathan's power touched them, giving them a conduit into the world. The twins would grow to become the mutant superheroes, the Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver. The High Evolutionary's new man, Bova, first tried to pass the twins on to Robert Frank, whose wife had died in childbirth, before giving them to a Romani couple who had lost their own children. So yeah, he's got a long history, and of course, I don't go and read all this out to you, but you definitely can look into. I mean, he's got a history, and sometimes he is somewhat paired. Like he's not necessarily a threat, and the Avengers have worked with him. I was seeing some stuff like he's not always that bad. He's just a little bit of a mad scientist, and really has some ethical issues, which we are definitely on display in the film. Something he does that you're just like, no, what are you doing? This is horrible. And yeah. We'll just leave it at that. But yeah, very nice to get to see kind of a lesser known character where I was only familiar with the name, the High Evolutionary. I knew he existed, but I didn't really know a whole lot about him. And so it's nice to be able to see him presented in a movie and gives me a chance to go look in on the character. But also, I wanted to know a little bit more of the origin of Rocket Raccoon, who is interesting, the first paragraph tells you how some of this is different. So Rocket Raccoon is a genetically and cybernetically enhanced raccoon turned freelance mercenary turned member of the Guardians of the Galaxy. He is considered to have one of the best tactical minds in the galaxy. He hails from Half-World in the Keystone Quadrant, where scientists were able to turn animals into sentient beings. Alongside his friend and partner Groot, he travels the galaxy picking up bounties. Now, they do give an origin story for him, and I'll go ahead and I'll read that to y'all. Centuries ago, a group of alien humanoids settled the largest planet in the Keystone Quadrant star system. They built a complex to house and treat the insane, recording their medical observations in psychiatric diary. When the Shrinks' funding was cut, they abandoned the project, but not before they created a staff of robot stewards to provide for the humanoids. They then separated the quadrant from the rest of the galaxy with an impenetrable force field.
when a nearby star went nova, ensuing radiation gave sentience to the robots, who quickly chafed at the illogical directives of the humanoids, or loonies. Seeking to end their servitude, the robots used genetic engineering to give intelligence and awareness to the animals that had been left as companions for the patients. They charged the animals with patients' care and protection, then relocated to the far side of the planet, which they proceeded to strip bare through the industrial endeavors, one of which was construction of a vast humanoid spacecraft called Ship. The half-industrial, half-verdant planet became known as Half-World. The animals continue to care for the humans, and the robots provided a lot of equipment, weapons, and parts for toys. The psychiatric diarrhea left by the physicians, now known in legend as the Shrinks, became an indecipherable icon called Gideon's Bible. Toys played an important part in Half-World society as entertainment for the loonies. Without toys, the loonies lapsed into a deep melancholy, so the animals made certain nothing interrupted production. Two otters formed the first toy factory, and upon their death, it was taken over by the mole Judson Jakes, who established his headquarters in Space Wheel's space station, built by the tortoise Uncle Pico. Pico designed toys, weapons, an army of robot clowns, and the bat-like Draculars. So yeah, slightly different, but one thing that I do wonder, well, it seems like these animals were brought there originally to kind of be companions to the humans there. So I wonder if maybe Rocket was brought actually from Earth with a bunch of other animals after all.
Well, let's just say, you know, the animals that are there on Half World are extremely similar to animals from Earth.
Yeah, definitely. And I didn't get to finish. They did a Rocket and Groot, I think it was a limited series, years and years ago. I think when the first Guardians movie had come out. I think I got two or three issues of it, and they had a female raccoon that showed up and met up with Rocket. And Rocket had been going around saying, I'm the only one like me. And then suddenly, no, you're not. Here's another one. And I didn't get to finish reading that series. I'm really kind of curious what all had went on, and I wondered how much of that series actually helped inspire some of the story that we saw in the film. Oh, but here we go. I just saw something. Rocket Raccoon flew to the Cuckoo's Nest, where he discovered that Judson Jakes has not only stolen Gideon's Bible, but has also kidnapped Rocket's girlfriend, Lila, as well. The three boarded the ship once again and head towards Judson's satellite headquarters, the Space Wheel. This is part of the Ranger days, which I don't know what the Ranger thing with that is. I don't know. That's a whole different thing. I see Hulk's name mentioned here. But yeah, there's
had nothing to do with him being Ranger Rick.
He was Ranger Rocket. There's a whole page for Lady Lila here, too. Lady Lila is a sapient otter and Rocket Raccoon's soulmate. She is the heiress of the largest toy-making empire, Mayhem Mechanics, or Mechaniques, I suppose I would call that, on the planet Half-World. Her parents were murdered by Judson Jakes, and he took over the company. Only through her marriage would he obtain full rights to the business. So, yeah, I hopefully this character is still alive. Look, here's Walrus. We got to see him, although he was named Teef. Oh, and then Judson Jakes, I guess what he was mentioned before, he is a mole. This looks like a lot of interesting stuff. I'd actually kind of like to check it out and read it because it just looks kind of fun. All these different animal characters that are actually existing in this fashion. Just, you know, this would make a good animated series, really. You could make a series out of Rocket and Groot and have all these adventures with these animals and do all this stuff. Somebody make it. Hello, Disney. Disney would have to be the one.
Production right now, so...
That would be cool. I would like it. Get some backstory. But all right, we've been doing the show for over an hour, though. I don't know that I have anything more to add. Do you?
Not really. I mean, overall, it was an enjoyable movie. They certainly draw on the rich background of the Guardians of the Galaxy and Rocket to come up and craft this story. Of course, being the MCU, they've got their own little differences between the comic book history and you know, the stories that they're creating. But, you know, this has been one of the more enjoyable films out of the past couple of years from Marvel. You know, for me, it's not quite ranking up quite as high as Spider-Man No Way Home, which is for me has been the pinnacle of what's come out the past few years. But it's definitely up there.
Yeah. And definitely for that moment that I will always remember, and it reminds me of in Star Wars where Luke, when he goes to the burning homestead and he looks away, then when he looks back to the camera, he seems like you can see he's changed. We see the same moment for Rocket where we get to we understand Rocket and his attitude about things a lot more at certain points in this story. But there is definitely a moment where you see his face go into that surlier look that he always has. We see that happen. And I was like, ooh, there it is. But we understand why he got there. And you're going to enjoy it. If you haven't seen this movie yet, you're definitely going to enjoy it.
And that was related to the Star Wars story I was supposed to share last week.
Oh, that's right. You were late on your Star Wars story.
So, I was.
Well, do we have time? Because you got to go and make some food.
I do. But it'll take me like maybe 2 minutes here.
Okay, 2 minutes. I'll time
it. My Star Wars memory. You know, of course, Star Wars has been a part of my life as long as I can think of. You know, my parents told me that they had me in the back seat when they went. I was literally in the back seat. Not that they had me in the back seat. Anyhow, I was in the back seat when they went to go watch Star Wars at a drive-in theater. So I was right there from the very beginning as a little two-year-old tyke. But when I was maybe 5 or 6, my family got an RCA video disc player. And one of the movies that they got was Star Wars. So, you know, of course, 5 years old, Empire Strikes Back had just come out. I'm right at the perfect age. And we get to that part in A New Hope where Luke is there. He sees the bodies of Uncle Ben and Aunt Beru. Okay, and that was enough for me. They're skeletons right there. I don't know if I want to watch this show with skeletons. But I was able to get past it, and I've loved it ever since.
Oh, indeed. Yep. I don't know why, but that never really bothered me that you could kind of see their bodies. I was just like, oh, man, look what they did. Even when I was little, that, you know, I don't know why that didn't bother me because I never really liked gore.
Well, you know, maybe it was just because of that bounty hunter who has to be warned no disintegrations.
Yeah, that came later. All righty, but we better wrap this thing up here. So make sure you visit the website, neverlandpodcast.com. Right in the middle of the front page, you can see my podcast reviews. Hey, you can leave us a review right there. Also, if you happen to be a podcaster, you want to be able to get your reviews from around the world and get them collected from every source. They will collect your reviews. They'll email you when you have a new one and then send it to you so you can know what's going. I've even got it rigged up where you can see some reviews actually on the website. So make sure you click on that. I do get a little tap whenever you do that. So I get like a penny or something. I don't know. But it's really inexpensive. It's a really great deal. But we always want to remember to thank Karen Kennedy, Ricky Pope of Christian Nerds Unite, and Darren Wilhite of the Will and Height and Wall Show for their help in creating our opening. Don't forget, you can send us an email, podcast@neverlandpodcast.com. If you didn't get a chance to send a Star Wars story, you know what? I'll still take some. You go ahead. We are, of course, still on Twitter at NeverlandPcast. Facebook, of course, you can find us if you search for Neverland Podcast. Now, I have been mentioning that I'm probably doing a little bit more with the group than I am the regular fan page because the group I can post as myself. The other one I can't just share something I see on Facebook directly to the like page. I have to go and log in as the podcast, and then I have to go grab stuff. So they've made it complicated, and I don't like it. But we have a group in there that you can join. Let's get some interaction, some conversation going. And also, of course, you can still become an official Neverlander on the website by going and becoming a Lost Boy or Pixie. And why do we have Pixies? Because girls are too clever. They don't get lost. And don't forget, we have a Patreon, patreon.com/Neverland Podcast. You can find those links for Patreon. Also, our store where we have shirts. I got a bunch of shirt designs that I have planned. I just have not gotten around to doing. I've been kind of busy. And when I get home from work, I like to play games. So I have more shirt designs that are coming along the lines of the Love is Service, pointing to a verse in Corinthians that I've made the last time based upon when we had Phil Lawler on here. I guess it's been a couple of months now. I have a lot more shirts that I have planned from that. So I kind of like that we've gotten our different way, and I can make Bible verse shirts now, and, you know, hopefully y'all will enjoy those as well as I have enjoyed making them and wearing them. But now, as we have to say at the end of every show, and I don't know, Eric, have you gotten to participate in this yet?
No, I haven't.
Oh, my goodness. Well, get lost in an adventure. We'll see y'all next time.
Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.